danger to the devil's kingdom. And you know what? And what else? When you get the word of God, the Bible says he comes immediately to snatch it up, to choke it out. But we are not going to let it be choked out, because I'm good ground. Tell somebody, I'm good ground. And when God planted his word in my life, it doesn't do anything but grow. But you know what you got to do in order for it to grow? The Bible says that we have to add water to it. Preach up in here. You know where I'm going now. I got to add water to it. What do you mean? Even if I get a word, I got to have a word to keep the word going. The Bible said by the washing of the water, by the word of God. I wish I had a few people in here today that understood when I get a word, I got to keep hearing the word. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I don't have anything else that I can find that's more powerful than the word of God once I begin to believe it. Come on and say amen. And so Jesus...
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody, 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
In reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the privilege now of studying your word. We thank you for the Holy Ghost who is able to take the text and tailor it so that each and every hearer's heart might not only hear what you have to say, but heed what you have to say. And God, we're so grateful that you've given us this word today to take us to another level. And we praise you and thank you in advance for what you shall do because of your word and through your spirit for every believer. In Jesus' name we pray. And the believers shouted, amen. Come on, give him a hand of praise as you are seated. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, God bless you. I want to actually get you to think in your own experience, as we know that faith is the realm through which God operates in the lives of believers, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so it's no new thing to the believer that we must continue to operate in a spirit of excellence as relates to faith, how we have to keep exercising our faith so that we can be taken to new levels, constantly and consistently in our lives. When we experience defeat many times in our lives, it is because our faith needs to rise to a new level.
Every level is equipped with devils on that level, designed to deal with you on that level. And when you get to the point and place where you are desiring more than what this level affords, it means you have to operate in a greater level of faith. And so understanding that, we want to again just look at some biblical principles in the Word of God, and we want to see how God deals with this issue in His Word. And we're talking about faith or fear. What fruit are they producing in your life? Faith or fear? What fruit are they producing in your life? This is not where you look at somebody else's life and you start measuring and, you know, you try and check out what's happening in their life. This is a time where you need to be looking at your own life. You need to be measuring your progress. You need to look at where you have come from, where you're going, where you are, and look at that based on the Word of God and based on how the fruit in your life is a reality. Now, here's what you need to know. Whether it's faith or whether it's fear, you're going to have fruit. I'll say it again. Whether it's faith or it's fear, you're going to have fruit. In other words, if you've got faith, then you're going to have some works to back up that faith. If you've got fear, you're going to have circumstances, results. You're going to have a non-productive. You're going to have, a sob-storying life to bear witness to the fear that has produced that kind of fruit in your life. So I want us to look at this and see. We're going to be looking at 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 11 through verse 17. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 11 through 17. And we're talking about Elisha or Elisha, if you will, and his servant. The Word of God says in verse 11 of the 6th chapter of 2 Kings, "Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" Verse 12 says, "And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel. Tell it the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." Verse 13 says, "And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan." Verse 14, "Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about." Verse 15, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host encompassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do?" Verse 16 says, "And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And verse 17, "And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." Now, my brothers and sisters, when we look at this word, you know, it may not look like there's a whole lot in the text, but I want you to recognize and understand that there's a lot from this ancient teaching for present day application. One of the things you need to recognize is that fear was the first element that literally paralyzed this young servant of Elisha, and it does the same thing today. Fear has a paralyzing effect on everyone who allows the spirit of fear to overtake them. What does paralyze mean? To make unable to move or act. Have you ever been in a situation in your past life, had a past experience where you got so scared you couldn't move? Okay, you might not want to admit that today. But let's say you could move, but you couldn't think right. I mean, the thoughts just got crazy. They just got, I mean, scrambled. It made no sense to you. Paralyzed means to impair the progress or functioning of. Maybe you got so fearful that you were impaired in terms of making progress. You slowed down almost to a complete stop, or you couldn't function because fear had gripped you so that it made it inoperative or powerless. And so when you recognize that Elisha's servant was paralyzed by fear because of what he saw in the natural. Now look at this point, because this is important. He was paralyzed by fear because of what he saw in the natural. He saw the literal horses and the riders who were great men of war who had surrounded the city. The record is they came when? It's in the text. We read it. When did those horses and the horsemen arrive and surrounded the city? What time was it? It was at night. See, one of the things you got to realize is the devil doesn't play fair. He's not going to wait till you get up and you're ready for a war or a battle to say, okay, I'm ready to deal with you today. No, he's going to try and catch you off guard. He's going to try and catch you when you least expect. He wants to catch you sleeping so that when he does present his attack on you, it would be an ambushment where you didn't even see it coming. That's how the devil plays. Now, here's something interesting that I found in the text, because the king of Syria had spies and terrorists set out in many different places trying to catch the king of Israel and trying to ambush them and trying to destroy them. But every time he did, the king of Israel discovered that this attack was going to happen at this place or that place. And so the king of Syria said, wait, let's come together meeting and talk this thing out. We got a spy in the camp. Because what I have shared in secret, what I have shared as a plan of attack, I've shared only with those who are closest with me. And it seems like every time I've made a plan of attack, somebody has told the king of Israel what my plans were. And nobody knew that outside of this special group of people I had to strategically plan this warfare with me. So what I want to know is, who's on the king of Israel's side? One of the men said, none of us, king. He said, but there is a man of God, a prophet, who is on the king of Israel's side. And I want to let you in on something, king. He's telling him everything that you say, even down to the secrets that you make in your bedroom. Now, if that's not an invasion of privacy, tell me what is. It's one thing when it's in the battle room. It's another thing when it's in the bedroom. Now here's the point of it. It was so intricate in terms of details that there was nothing that could be hid from God. And because it couldn't be hid from God, God did not hide it from the man of God, who would then tell the king what was necessary, because there were some things the king had gotten suspicious of the men around him. So he said, I tell you what, I'm going to let them think it's this place. But then in his bedroom, he may have been talking to the queen. He said, I got them thinking, I'm going to see who's going to let the cat out the bag, but I'm going to do this. And so maybe when he shared it with his wife, he thought he had another plan, but God knew that plan as well. And he told that to the prophet, and the prophet told that to the king. And so he could not catch him because God revealed the plan of the enemy. So I want you to recognize something here. If God would go so far as to reveal to the prophet the things that the king needed to know, do you not think God would not reveal to the prophet when the king of Syria would try to overtake him? Look in the text now. He's telling him what's going on in his bedroom chambers for the king, but now the king has gotten mad and said, I tell you what you do. Let's go find this man who's telling all my business and bring him in captured. So he sends his elite force to go out and catch the man of God. I ain't want to catch the man of God sleeping. That's why you ought to always pray and not faint. That's why spiritually, even in your spirit, you ought to be able to be connected to God in a prayer language where God keeps you informed and keeps you on top of everything the enemy does. You ain't got to be out there trying to ask, well, what's going on? What's happening? This, that, and the other. You stay connected with God, and God is going to give to you revelation about everything you need to know when you need to know it. And if he don't tell it to you, most times it ain't worth hearing.
Somebody didn't hear that. But I want you to hear again how this thing plays out. Now, God reveals to him, I'm convinced in my spirit, that these men were coming. That's why he wasn't surprised when the servant comes back with this report early that morning. He's paralyzed with fear. He wants to know, how shall we do? In other words, how are we going to come out of this? We are surrounded with more than enough enemies to overtake us. That was his position on it. But I want you to see something else. Because while he was paralyzed through fear, the man of God gave him a faith perspective. Now, what does perspective mean? It means a view or a vista, a method, a mental view rather, or outlook. It means a point of view. The man of God gave him a holistic perspective. Fear caused the servant to be paralyzed and to think that they were in a hole. They were down in a dungeon, they were in a pit, they were in a place they couldn't get out of. They were in a fix. The man of faith gives him a whole, W-H-O-L-E. Now it's amazing that inclusive of W-H-O-L-E, you have H-O-L-E. A hole being a pit, it being a place where you're confined, caught, stuck, messed up, caught up. But that's only the temporary, and that's only a fragment of the W-H-O-L-E hole. So what I'm trying to help you understand is fear will keep you in a hole, but faith will give you the whole picture. And what that literally means is just because it is this way now don't mean it has to stay this way now. And so the man of God gave him a whole perspective of, it looks like the enemy is winning, but the fight ain't even over. As a matter of fact, the fight hadn't even begun. Matter of fact, you so messed up and think that we're caught and we are in a hole until you don't think we can win this thing. And so here's where I want you to see how he deals with this. Elisha's servant's outlook on the situation was dim and negative because his faith was not in God's power. The servant of Elisha, his faith was not in God's power. See, my brothers and sisters, you need to be careful that the people who associate with you and are connected with you are also connected with your source, because if they are not, they will in many ways pull on your perspective, pull on your natural and emotional state if you are not rooted and grounded in the things of faith. Just because they're scared don't mean that you have to be scared. Just because they're negative don't mean you have to be negative. And they would not be negative if they knew what you knew. They would not have to be negative if they were where you were. They would not have to have a dim outlook on it if they had a whole perspective. And so that's one of the reasons why people of faith have got to realize that you cannot have peace outside of God and the arena of faith. Look at what Romans 5:1 says, and I want you to see that if you turn your Bibles. You'll say, therefore, being justified by faith, listen to this, we have peace with God through our Lord Christ Jesus. Now, here's what's interesting about this, that you can't have peace without faith. Let me say that again. You cannot have peace without faith. If we are justified by faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, you've got to have enough faith to feed your spirit man to know that God is faithful to back up what he said, in order for fear to move itself from you and allow faith to enter into you and cause you to stand on what God has said as your source and as your supply. Fear enters in all of us where faith isn't. Whatever area of life that you're in, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going with, if you're scared, can I tell you, it's because you ain't got no faith there. And if you don't have any faith there, it's probably because you ain't got no word there. But if you were truly operating in faith, it would be based upon God. You said it in your word. And I know you're not a man that you should lie. All I've got to do is align my faith with what you said. And if I align my faith with what you said, then fear has got to leave out of my life, because there is no room for fear and faith to occupy the same space. So that's why I've got to learn how to not only get in the Word, study to show myself approved unto God, but I need to hang out with some faith folk. Because if I learn to hang out with faith folk gonna talk faith. They ain't gonna talk all that foolishness. They're gonna speak about not only what is, but what is to be. They're gonna speak those things that be not as though they were. They're not gonna allow themselves to be locked into what has happened as if what has happened is all that's going to happen. This might be the only point in time in this junction of truth, but the reality is faith always moves beyond where we are into the possibility and the realms of what can be according to faith. So that's why you've got to learn how to exercise your faith with the Word and with fellowship and with walking in those truths. I mean, you've got to develop your faith. Listen, if I'm right here, but I know I need to be here, I've got to take the Word, which will remove the fear, and then start operating on this new level of faith that I'm believing. How many of us have missed opportunities because fear paralyzed us because we didn't want to fail? Here's what we didn't realize. We were so afraid of failing that we didn't even take a step to make sure that at least if we gave our best, if we failed, we would not live in the realm of what could have been, should have been, I hoped it would have been. At least we would have known that it wasn't us, or it wasn't our timing, or God had something better for us. But when we never move because we're paralyzed by fear, the enemy will never let in life us realize our full potential. You know, I've come to the point in my life now, I'd rather make a mistake trying to do my best than sitting there thinking about, well, no, I got to make sure I got everything right and everything perfect, and I got to make sure. Well, you spent all of that time analyzing and micro-analyzing and all of that mess. You know what that really is a sign of? You're scared. You're scared. See, some things, listen, once you pray about it, and if it's a faith and God has spoken to you about it, you move on. But you want to pray some more. It ain't going to change. God either said yes or he said no. And your praying ain't going to change his mind. But what you got to realize is for you to do what you're praying about has got to be based on faith. And if it's not based on faith, fear is going to rise up. Just as soon as you get through praying, you might feel good while you're praying. Ooh, praise God, I'm ready. I'm going to take this on. And then, you know, the prayer cools down and you cool down and here come fear right back in. Because once you activate faith, this is what you got to do. Walk in it. Because if you don't take a step, once you activate faith, fear will be right there watching to see what you do. Speaking is one thing, walking in it is another. How many times have you have been, I mean, in your own experience, God's given you a vision, God's given you a word, God's given you some inspiration, and man, while that anointing was on you, you knew you should have moved, but you waited, you delayed, you missed that window of opportunity, of visitation, and then you never accomplished or completed or did what you knew you should have. You see, one of the things about faith is an action word like love. Faith is designed to do stuff. God does not build faith in you to sit down or to not move or to not step out on what is not visible. Here's what you need to know. Everything that is was made by what was not visible. His word. His word, which was spoken in the beginning, was not visible. But here's the truth. When he spoke it, it became visible. It became manifested. Why? Because after he spoke it, action took place. Everything God said, the Holy Ghost took it and acted upon it, and it became a reality. Well, what I'm trying to help us understand is we've got to make sure that we understand whether we are operating in fear or we're operating in faith, we're going to have the fruit thereof. If fear continues to reign in the believer, you will never reach your full potential in God. You will never get out of the place that you're in. You'll never experience God's best for your life. Listen at this. I, again, would rather fail over and over and over again, trying, because sooner or later, I'm going to get it. See, your fear of failure sometimes is so strong. Your fear of rejection sometimes is so strong that it'll paralyze you, and the devil doesn't have to do more than allow that spirit to be on you to keep you from progressing. Some of you right now are not where you ought to be, don't have what you ought to have, are not in the place you ought to be right now, not because somebody else stopped you, but you stopped you because you didn't operate in faith because fear gripped you and kept you in that place. Think about where you would be if you really operated in the faith God gave you. Think about it. Think about what you missed out on because you were scared. You know, we make it sound funny, but the truth of the matter is that's what has hindered us so much, because we've been scared. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power. And the power comes from his love. And the love comes from his word, which is a sound mind. Let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be also in you. That soundness of his mind is what he gives us. His word, that is sound, solid, stable, stout, strong, invincible. Can't nothing come and attack and overthrow the word of God. As a matter of fact, he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of his word will ever pass away. You know another good reason why you ought to know as much of this word as you can? Because when you get to heaven, you're going to see it in person. If you don't learn it down here and know it down here, you'll be there, you know, because of salvation and so forth, but you won't really appreciate it like you will if you can get to study it down here and then see it in the fullness of its glory there. Because guess what? If it's not going to pass away, that means it's going to be as it is here now, it will be there later. So I want you to see what happens here, because when this servant saw this great army. Now get this picture in your mind. I want you to look at this, and if you can, we don't have enough space to do this demonstration, so you have to work with your sanctified imagination. Let's suppose right here is Elisha's house, right here. This is the mountaintop. Now, just make a big circle, a large circle, that, you know, goes around this table and all around this, all the way up here, and all of this around in a circular motion are the enemy's horses and horsemen on the mountaintop. The servant comes out and he looks. He gets up out early in the morning. He just looks all around and he sees all of those horsemen and all of those horses. Just sitting there waiting to attack. And he breaks back in the house crying to Elisha, my master, listen, we're surrounded. There's nowhere to run. They are all around us. What are we going to do? How are we going to make it? Elisha comes out. No doubt God's already told him they had company. So he comes out the house and he looks. My. Wow. And the servant is like freaking out. Yeah, you see that? He says, see what? All these men on these horses waiting to attack us. Elisha said, that's not what I'm talking about. He said, what you mean, master? Now, these men are on horses facing Elisha's house. But now Elisha is standing outside his house. He say, you don't see it? He say, see what? He say, that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, in circumference, it is not true. Because when you hear the word, here's what you see. Here around Elisha's house, around the mountaintop, are horses and men on those horses. I'll explain about them in a minute. But they are surrounding Elisha's house all the way around. But the horsemen and the